that's happening today. We're talking about it now. Join us, 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome to the show today. Joining us now is Steve Stafstrom, who represents the Bridgeport neighborhoods of Black Rock, Brooklawn, and the West End. First elected to the General Assembly in 2015 during a special election, currently serving as the House Chair of the Judiciary Committee, but also serving on the Finance, Revenue, and Bonding, Planning, and Development Committees. He's a Connecticut guy, it sounds like, born and bred, both in Orange and now currently a member of Pullman and Comley, which is based in Bridgeport. He's a lawyer and specializes in commercial litigation. Hello, Representative Stafstrom. Welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's very nice to have you. I don't think we've ever met, and I feel bad that we're not meeting in person today.
Yeah, that's, I guess it's the reality of the world we're living in, but I appreciate letting me call in.
Yeah, sure. So, all right, well, let's get right into it. So you're running again, and you are the head of the Judiciary Committee. You know, today's a rather propitious day, my big word of the day, but it is that kind of a day right now in the country. I'm just wondering, as a lawyer, as head of the Judiciary Committee, do you have any thoughts you want to share on the nomination confirmation of Amy Coney Barrett right now?
Yeah, as long as you don't make me spell proficiously, but...
I know. Well, if you don't make me spell Stafstrom, that's hard to read. That's very... Is that a Scandinavian name, by the way?
Swedish, yep.
Swedish, yeah. Yeah, I love that.
So, you know, I think, obviously, what folks don't quite always understand is in Connecticut, we have a very different system for appointing judges. You know, so instead of the governor being able to appoint anyone they want from anywhere, lawyers in the state who want to become judges or Superior Court judges who want to be elevated have to first go through what's called the Judicial Selection Commission, which is a nonpartisan group that basically rates whether a judge is qualified or not qualified. So, you know, not necessarily with respect to Amy Coney Barrett, but we've seen a number of Trump appointments to appellate courts where the Bar Association has come back and said those folks are not qualified to serve in those roles. In Connecticut, we wouldn't allow that because they would have to go through the commission and be deemed qualified before the governor could select someone for as a judge. One of the other big differences we have in Connecticut is we don't have lifetime appointment of judges in Connecticut. They serve for 8-year terms. So a judge is appointed by the governor, they're confirmed by the legislature, and another difference is we actually do confirmation of judges through both the House and the Senate. The committee meets together, and so both representatives and senators vet the nominee, and then somebody's on for 8 years, and they'd have to be reappointed after 8 years. I am a firm believer that our system in Connecticut is vastly superior to what we're seeing going on in Washington right now and over the last several years. I listened to a little bit of your last segment about, you know, we can all kind of look to Harry Reid and where this started or the like, but certainly multiple wrongs don't make a right. And what we're unfortunately seeing kind of culminating you know, with Merrick Garland and then certainly with Brett Kavanaugh and now with Amy Coney Barrett is really the politicization and partisanization of the judicial branch of government at the federal level, which I don't think serves anyone in the country well.
I couldn't agree with you more. It's sad, really. It's sad for America. You know,
yeah, it shouldn't be this yeah. Political, right? I mean, we shouldn't, you know, the president shouldn't be selecting someone off of a list that's been pre-approved by sort of a radical right-wing organization that vets judges and provides litmus tests no more than a Democratic president should do the same on the other end. That's not what the role of the judiciary is. We should be looking for folks who are more above kind of the partisan politics of it and are not necessarily going to be subject or swayed overly far one way or another. Of course, we've always said, you know, presidents or justices are appointed by Democratic presidents or Republican presidents, but back when we had the 60-person filibuster and the blue card, track charges, you tended to get someone who was a little more centrist or moderate, and I think that was we're on a slippery slope where we're going right now.
Yeah, I mean, that was essentially my point. We're chatting with Representative Steve Stastrom, that there were built-in checks and balances on the process that have fallen by the wayside, and this is why we're seeing this. And so this is why, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg was nominated by Orrin Hatch, right? Orrin Hatch, a conservative, yep. I mean, in other words, suggested, not nominated by the president, but it was Orrin Hatch who called up Bill Clinton and said, you should do Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And when he was speaking, I watched the documentary RBG, it's so amazing. When he was speaking on her behalf, he said, I know you're going to rule in ways that I might not agree with how you're going to rule, but that takes nothing away from your fitness to serve as a judge. And that's the point.
And no, it's
that's
absolutely
what
right.
We've and lost.
I guess what I would say to folks here in Connecticut listening, like I said, is back to the state level. We do it very different here in Connecticut. It's a model in many respects. I mean, just last month, we confirmed a new Supreme Court justice to our state Supreme Court and three new appellate court justices. I think those nominees got one, maybe two no votes out of the 151 members of the House of Representatives when they went through. That's what we should be striving for and seeking at the federal level as well, as opposed to, what could end up being a 51-49 confirmation. I mean, God forbid, Amy Klobuchar goes through and it's a tie vote 50-50 and the vice president has to break the tie. I mean, that just, it's a sad day for our democracy that we've come to that.
We're chatting with Steve Stafstrom, who is a lawyer and who represents the Black Rock, Brooklawn, and West End districts, areas of the district in Bridgeport. You can give us a call at 203-333-9422. So, Representative Stafstrom, right now, as far as your district, what are you most concerned about when you represent your district in Hartford? What are the urgencies that you think your district needs right now?
Well, I think right now, Lisa, like everybody, we're focused on kind of getting back to whatever is going to be the new normal as we grow out of this COVID crisis and, strive to continue to be a model for the nation in terms of keeping our infection rates at or near the lowest in the country. We still have a lot of folks who are out of work. I represent a very diverse district, from bigger homes on the water in Black Rock to some of the poorest housing projects in the city. And there's a huge opportunity and economic gap right now in terms of who has access to jobs and being able to work from home and educational services and the like. And so I think certainly the biggest issue on everybody's mind right now is this current crisis before us and how we're going to rebuild out of it.
What do you think are going to be some of the better ideas that come out of this? For example, there's this group formed called Desegregate Connecticut, which argues that the disproportionate impact in terms of looking at color of various towns and cities throughout Connecticut needs to be addressed by legislation in Hartford. What do you think about that, generally speaking?
Yeah, I think I think they're on to something. I mean, I think what we've got in Connecticut right now is so much of your access to education, opportunity, jobs, transportation is a function of your zip code. We are one of the most, if not the most, segregated state in the entire nation, not just when it comes to race, but when it comes to socioeconomics as well. I think, we need to continue to strive to increase affordable housing opportunities around the state of Connecticut. We need to continue to push to try to equalize educational opportunity. We need to realize that the regressive property tax structure is one of the biggest things holding Connecticut back. You know, when we talk about the cost of living in Connecticut, or you talk about the income, or you talk about the tax structure, if you drill down, major, major reason for that is the income, is the property tax in Connecticut. You know, when you look at income tax, we're, you know, if you look at the Tax Act studies and the like, we're at or near the middle of the pack. Sales tax, we're at or near the middle of the pack. Business taxes, we're at or near the middle of the pack. The reason Connecticut is seen as a high tax state generally is because we're 49th in the country in property taxes. And so to me, you know, we're never going to be able to really kind of turn that corner in terms of being a more affordable place for folks to move to or to retire in unless we get a handle on our property tax structure in the state.
But how do we do that? We're chatting with Representative Steve Stafstrom. In other words, we've already made it, you know, the federal tax code has been revised under the Trump administration to make it even more expensive as an actual matter out of pocket for people to be paying high property taxes because we only have a deduction up to $10,000. And we know that a city like Bridgeport, for example, has a much higher mill rate, so a much higher rate of taxation on the same assessed value you would pay in Bridgeport, for example, than just about any of the surrounding towns around it. So in a way, there's a disproportionate tax burden for people who want to be a homeowner in Bridgeport, making it more expensive for a place that's, you know, has more impoverished people. So how do you fix that? What do you want to do about it?
Oh, trust me, I know it. I pay those property taxes in Black Rock
myself. I know,
myself.
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
You know, I mean, part of the problem with Bridgeport is Bridgeport only has 8 square miles of taxable land. So, you know, if you look at other communities which are much larger in landmass size, even though they have smaller population, you know, what folks don't realize often is actually per capita, Bridgeport has one of the lowest costs of delivering municipal services of any of the surrounding towns. We just have more people and less land to tax when you take the nonprofit land out, when you take the hospitals, the colleges, the polluted industrial properties, you're left with about 8 square miles of actual taxable land vis-a-vis what some of our surrounding communities have. But I think it's two things. Number one, we need the state to continue to look at how to help municipalities, particularly our urban centers, restructure and deal with some of their legacy debt obligations. Much like the state as a whole, Bridgeport obviously has a lot of legacy debt that dates back to when it was a major industrial center and all the jobs were here and the factories were here and folks sort of never thought ahead to the day in which that commercial and industrial base wasn't going to bear the lion's share of the property tax burden, but residential homeowners would. And so I think this, you know, as we've done over the last couple of years, looking creatively at how the state can back refinancing of debt and smooth out obligations so that the city can dig out of its legacy debt obligations is one of the things. The other thing is we in Connecticut have just become to accepting redundant local services. You know, I know the regionalism word can be a dirty word to folks, but the fact of the matter is, you know, we're okay having these postage stamp sized towns that all have to have their own fire chief, and they all have their own police chief, and they all have to have their own purchasing agent, and they all have to have their own you know, back office IT support and the like. And it's that kind of stuff where we could save significant dollars around Connecticut by combining some of those services. I often like to use the example of 911 dispatch call centers. You know, if you call 911 and say, look, I need, my house is on fire, send a fire truck, or somebody's breaking into my house, send a police officer. You don't care who answers the phone or where they are, as long as they answer the phone and they send, you know, they send the help you need. But we in Connecticut have 106 emergency dispatch facilities around the state. The state of California has 9. It just seems crazy to me that we haven't figured out a way to, you know, cut through some of that level of bureaucracy.
We're chatting with Representative Steve Stafstrom of Bridgeport at 203-333-9422 on the Lisa Wexler Show. Before I let you go, I would like to ask you, What do you think about the police chief in Bridgeport and the personnel officer that recently pled guilty with respect to cheating on an exam in order to move ahead of the pack to become the chief of police? I mean, you must know him well. You must know the players in town. What do you think about all of this?
Yeah, I think it's disgusting. I think it's an absolute violation of the public trust and confidence. And I think it's emblematic of sort of a real need for overall change at the highest levels of the police department. I've said publicly before, and I'll say it again. I think the current chief, acting chief, who's taken over is a seems like a nice enough person and seems like a good cop, but we need somebody to commit from the outside at this point. There's a lack of confidence from many members of the public and from many rank and file officers in the leadership of the police department, and I think it's time for somebody to come in from the outside with a fresh set of eyes to really clean up and do things differently than the way the Bridgeport Police Department has been doing it.
Because the acting police chief also was appointed under a cloud, under a lawsuit, when she was first elevated as well, correct?
Yeah. I think it's beyond just that. I mean, that obviously undercuts confidence. But I think the bigger concern to me is just, you know, in any organization where you sit there and you say, okay, you know, things aren't going well for whatever reason, a fresh set of eyes never hurts. And so that's why I think it's really important that we bring somebody in from the outside to run the department.
Do you think, Representative Staffstrom, that this is about going after Mayor Joe Ganim again for corruption?
It very well could be. I mean, obviously, the FBI investigation needs to play itself out. I highly doubt we've heard the end of it. But I think we're all waiting to hear.
And so institutionally, as somebody who represents Bridgeport up in Hartford, when you say that you think the police chief, the next one, needs to be somebody from without, are there any mechanisms within existing government to force that? Is there anything that can be done? Does an election determine the outcome of that, or is it strictly up to municipal elections?
The Bridgeport Charter is pretty specific on this, as we've all kind of seen and read about and heard as a result of the FBI investigation, in terms of there needs to be a civil service exam and certain candidates selected and the like after a national search. I think the process itself makes sense on paper. I think what happened here is the process was manipulated. And I think obviously doing a new search from the outside with a lot more public oversight and scrutiny, I hope would yield a different result.
We're chatting with Representative Steve Staffstrom. Thank you very much. So you're running. So this will be 16, 18, 20, your third full term, but your fourth altogether term in office?
Yes, I'm running for my fourth term after completing I had a partial first term. So this would be the two full terms and a partial term. This would be the fourth.
Well, congratulations and thank you and good luck in November. And thank you for joining us on the show. Say hello to Tim for me back at the firm. And it's been very nice to get to know you a little bit. I hope the next time I'll get to meet you in person.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Lisa. Look forward to coming back.
Thank you. Me too. Representative Steve Staffstrom from Bridgeport on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.